Well, I think you can guess, as everybody's getting ready, where we're going to be in the scripture. And so if you want to guess with me, it's going to be, oh goodness, it can only really be four, like, and since last week we were in. And so let's go to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start there and look at three very specific scriptures. Abby, is one of these yours? They're both mine. Okay, I was going to drink after you, but I thought if I didn't have to. Sorry. Well, I want you to think about this, and I've talked to you kind of about, my wife didn't bring me coffee, and I'm used to that on Sunday morning, so I'm a little distraught, you know what I mean? So you can get on her when she gets back. I want you to think about something, and I want you to understand that today and in the weeks to come, we're going to journey a little bit differently through the Christmas story. I'm actually just pulling out small elements for us to look at small moments in this story. And we're going to start with, and I want to just give you a little bit of background, and we talked about this with the men on Friday, but I want you to remember that, unfortunately for us dudes, the men handled the Christmas story here different than the ladies did. So you have Zachariah and Joseph, you have Elizabeth and Mary, they each receive it differently. And people have said to me over the years, they've said, well, I mean, they all question. No, they question differently. The men questioned God. The women said, I'm a virgin. Are you meaning that I'm going to have to? Right, you fill in the blank. It was a different question. It wasn't, it can't happen. It was like, so you're telling me that, because the highlighted word in that sentence is virgin. And so she was questioning that, not that God couldn't. And so what I want you to remember today is that when we read this scripture about Mary, this is her response. The second part is the way in which Elizabeth approaches Mary. Very, very significant. Here Elizabeth is, blessed among women as well, because here she had been late in her years, and she's not only receiving a child, but she's receiving the child that's going to go and prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet in that, we see a very humble representation of what it means to be a good, godly woman. And then at the end, we see in this third scripture, and I can turn to them, the third scripture, you're going to see kind of the result of Elizabeth's faithfulness and what God does to her among the people. And so if you got your Bibles, if you would stand, and let's go into the reading of God's word today. Luke chapter 1, verses 38, 42, 58. So you ready to skip around? Your eyes still good? Okay. Here we see Mary's response to the angel in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. I love this. It's so simple. The Christmas story teaches us simplicity in our walk with the Lord. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be. Let it be to me according to your word. That's the key word there. According to your word. And the angel departed from her. Why? Because there was no need to continue a discussion. Because she said, whatever it is, let it be. Second scripture is 42. Mary's coming to Elizabeth, and she explained with a loud cry, this is Elizabeth, to Mary, blessed, blessed are you among women. This is the same translation as the what? The Beatitudes. There's actually a lot of translations of blessed in the scriptures. This one relates directly to Beatitudes. Many of us view those and don't understand them, and I've taught them before here, but I'm going to help you understand that word blessed. Are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your word. Church, this is like, I don't know, this is going to sound like mushy, but I've been crying all week as I've read this, because these are like some humble, come on now, some humble, God-fearing women that are like just excited to be in. It's tremendous. Now we get to the end, and I love God's vindication. We look at verse 58, and her neighbors, meaning Elizabeth's neighbors, who were the ones that we assume made her feel what? A lot of shame for no reason. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown. Here's what I love too. They didn't hear it from her. She just kept on keeping on. Come on now, church. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her. So they rejoiced with her. Whew. God, today, let this not be a stale word. Let this not be something that we say to ourselves, oh, we've heard before and here we're hearing it again. God, I pray that you would bring life to these words. These three moments in time that really happened are significant. Let us just look at these ladies and say, okay, how can I go out this weekend and be like them and receive like them and live like them? And what's great today is we can because of you. We can because of the gift of Christmas. We can because of the gift of salvation. But we also can because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, the helpmate. And so today, as we go out, we pray that you would just allow your helpmate to be with us. Bind the hands of Satan in the name of Jesus, and let this time be committed wholly to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, we're going to continue on. Okay, what do these scriptures tell us about the story of Christmas? Well, they tell us that it's a story of what? Obedience. Remember, we're looking just at the ladies. A story of obedience. Now, most of you will say, well, Pastor, you have talked a lot over the years about obedience. And guess what? I'm going to continue to talk about obedience over the years. Why? Because I believe when God speaks, it has to follow. And those that are successful in the word, we can't help but look at the fact that God speaks, they're obedient, and the product is. It's also a story of restoration. And then it's a story of rejoicing over something that wasn't being rejoiced about before. So three things. Y'all like obedience? Okay, so I got to tell you like a funny little story just real quick. Because, we got time. Oh, y'all are stuck with me for a while. But anyway, I'll tell you a little story. This morning, I'd forgotten some things because I go really early and sometimes my mind stays at home and I go, and so it's there. And I needed her to get some things. Well, she wasn't picking up her phone. She wasn't answering the text, and I was starting to, like, have anxiety. And so I said, I got an idea. I'll call the kids Alexa on my phone. And I didn't ever do that before. I forgot that that's an option. The Lord brought it to my heart because he was like, cool it. And I said, okay. And so I call the Alexa. Well, if you know our twins' voices, they're hard enough in person. Then you put them over Alexa, and it's like, I don't know what they're saying, and I don't know if they're getting me and if I'm getting them. And so I call, and this is just cute as a dad. And, I'm like, hey, and they're like, dad, and in their own way. I don't really even say dad very well. But they begin to talk to me, and I don't know what they're saying. And I'm saying to them, listen, okay, I need you to just go upstairs and tell your mother that I need this. Well, I said a complicated sentence. Then I realized Indy, who's the boss of the house, she said, well, Maymay, you go do it. I said, no, I need you both to because you speak better than Maymay. And she said, no, Maymay's going to do it. I didn't know the background, and I'll tell you the background. And I said, sweetie, then just say these three words, okay? Props, or I said something like ugly sweater stuff, and she repeated it, sounded nothing like that. And so Indy said, Maymay's gone. And so Indy's beginning to tell me about the morning. Well, then I hear Maymay upstairs in the background, and I hear her mother say, didn't I tell you to stay downstairs? And so I'm thinking that Indy knew what was about to happen, so she sent Maymay upstairs. And then it dawned on me why. Indy did not want to go up because Indy's a very much of an obedient follower. Maymay's like, well, in trouble, not in trouble, we'll toss the dice. And so, but obedience, we're always dealing with that, with families, with children. If you're a teacher, you're dealing with it what? Every single day. Why? Because when children are obedient, it's easier to what? To teach them. Here's the thing. With obedience, it's easier for Jesus to what? Move. It's easier for Jesus to work, to send his spirit, to see the fullness come. And so, when we look at this scripture, obedience is rooted in this simple word. This word, church, that's so significant. I thought about it over the last couple of weeks. Oftentimes, and what's interesting is Genesis is there was a hovering If you remember, and I didn't realize this until I really got into it, but there's relation to this scripture as into Genesis, meaning there was a hovering. The Spirit was hovering over. This is beautiful. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit began to move, and then we see these words brought to life, and then we see this movement, and here in this time, we see that the Spirit was hovering. You know what that is? The Spirit was what? Looking, observing, getting ready to move, getting ready to just bust out in the seams, getting ready to find that person that the Spirit could use and send the angel to speak what? A spoken word. But words come from us, or come to us, in all different ways. And unfortunately, right now, words are coming from us, or to us, in all different ways. We used to have that saying that sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will. That is a lie. You know, we should not say that. Because honestly, some of the kids in my school and junior high, I'd rather them had thrown the stone, right? So I wouldn't be buying all the shoes, which I'm over now, right? A year and a half clean. No, I did buy one. Yeah, I got a gift card. You know, y'all give me a gift card. What am I supposed to do? Not use the Nike.com gift card? So anyway, but she always says, you never get enough for the, you know, so you know how that goes, right? You get a gift card with the thing I want, and she always says, why don't you stay within the realm of the, I'm like, I don't know. That's why I don't carry a debit card, just so you know. So when you say, I don't have no money. Oh, okay. Anyway, I want you to think about this. Words actually do. Oftentimes, I think I wish that person would have just thrown a stick. I could have gotten over it. But words stick. We hold on to them. And you know what they do? They create barriers. Words create barriers. Things that people say to us at school, right? I still think about today. Junior high still impacts me today. I went to the number one worst school in New Jersey during junior high. They closed it since then. And so, work. Oftentimes what people say to us at work sticks. Sometimes good, praise God. Sometimes not. Oftentimes we don't know how to decipher through it. Family. Come on, church. Family. I don't talk to my dad for a reason. Because every time I do, words come that I don't receive anymore. Friends. Social media. Y'all, we got to be careful on social media. You want to know why people don't want to go to church? Well, look at your feed. You talk about how you, or this didn't, or the church didn't, or I felt, and then you wonder why your friend says, well, I don't want to go with you, and they say, remember when you, why didn't? But that's what they got. And when you get to Jesus, guess what? Just because you wrote it out, and you didn't speak it out, it's still yours. Words bring barriers. But here's the exciting thing. Words also bring freedom. So what do you mean? Church, the word of the Lord came to Mary. And here's what's so significant about what Mary said when you translate it, and I'm going to get it wrong, but it's R-H-E-M-A and then R-U-A-H. It was the word of the Lord. So Mary actually, I mean, I can't tell you the wisdom. So as the Spirit was hovering and looking for the right person and examining the women of the world, I believe, okay, and we're going to talk about this. I'm not going to go all Catholic, okay, but I'm going to tell you there's some significance about Mary that we should hold on to. And what's significant here is when she said the word of the Lord, she actually was saying, not just you, angel, but everything I learned as a child. All of a sudden, Mary got the scriptures that she was taught about a coming Messiah. She got what Daniel was saying. She got what Isaiah was saying. She got the prophecies. And she went beyond. She didn't say, I receive what you have said, angel. You know what she said? I receive the word of the Lord. Meaning I receive all that this prophecy means. Meaning I know enough that as I stand here today, I receive the Rhema, which is the word of the Lord, which came both in a move of his Spirit and through the spoken word of the angel. Church, are we ready to receive the word of the Lord, which brings freedom in our lives? See, when we can put aside other words, other statements, other stuff, and be fully able to receive the words of the Lord, they bring life. In fact, even the way that she responds, I love this. Behold, if you don't know this angel, I'm going to let you know this. I am. This is actually like just stating, you know, when Jesus said, I am, okay, she actually said, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be. It's like this moment in time where she speaks to this angel and just says, let it be. And a peace comes over her in the way that she speaks, in the way that she lives. And it happened in a willing being. So, the words, we have to let them go. And we have to receive the words that are edifying. So something that my wife and I are pretty good at, we're not good at it in all ways, but in fact, Pastor Joey and I were talking about this because Joey had said something, and I said, well, Ashley told me, and she's like, my goodness, didn't you say something like, you two are like so frank. We have to be. Think about it. She loves me to a core, and I love her to a core that's deeper, right, than my feelings. So Friday night, she comes home. I'm all excited. She spoke that night. How did it go? I believe in her. I believe the gifting, the anointing. What she says when she shares, I believe in it. And she said, it went well. The Lord moved. The ladies were so sweet. And then an hour later, when all the kids' stuff is done, I looked at her, and I just know. I mean, we're on 12 years now. You should know, right? I just knew, and I said, babe, I said, I think you're in your head, right? And she said, I'm in my head. And I said, what is it? And she said, well, I just started to think about who wasn't there, and was it because of me? That's what pastors do at night. You know that, right? So I looked at her, and I said, honey, if that were the case, I would be on medicine, and everybody else that's a pastor would be on medicine. I said, people have lives, they got families, they don't feel well, it's COVID. I mean, I just started going down the list. And I said, rebuke that in the name of Jesus and don't receive it, right? Because I know you all well enough, right? And she looked at me and said, oh, that was harsh. And I said, well, it's important. You know, a lot of you sit next to people you can't speak spiritual truth to because you're afraid of them. What are they going to do, hit you? Call 911 and say, I brought them spiritual truth and they're about to bust me up. That's why I tell young couples, look, before you all get married, get spiritually right. Get it together. Because God's going to call you to be the first one to say to your spouse, here's some truth from the Lord. And what did we do? We relaxed and moved on. And you know, she does the same thing to me because I say the same thing. But yet we're close enough and we're safe enough that we can say that. And some of you need to get close enough and safe enough to start speaking truth to your spouses so they stop spreading nonsense. Think about it. We were created as, if we're modeled after Jesus, and Jesus says, I'm married to you and you receive me, and so I'm going to bring correction out of love through my word to you, then it should be beautiful. And we shouldn't have to call 911. His words, his clarity, our obedience. This is Mary. This is Mary. It was his words. It was his clarity. All in this, the last thing was her and her obedience. And didn't God do a mighty work through her? Whew. Do you desire? Think about it. The Spirit was hovering. God was focusing. He was looking. He was bringing his attention to the world. And in that hovering, in that attention, in that focus, the Lord looked on a woman who said, let it be, as the word of the Lord says. You know, it makes me kind of chuckle because she's standing in front of an angel. You all ever stand in front of an angel? Not only was it an angel, but it was Angel Gabriel. And she kind of just spoke through him and said, oh, good. The word of the Lord is what I'm going to receive. Whew. Like, thank you for bringing it, but it's actually no wonder. I mean, if we just look at the words of Mary, no wonder God stopped and said, okay, yeah, you got it, girl. Let's go with you. And I think here's the thing. When the word of the Lord comes, is it an exterior work that we're looking at? Or is it an interior work? Because it went from a hovering to a... The second thing, I love preaching Christmas. Are you all okay with that? I mean, there's so much we could preach Christmas for months. The second thing, the Christmas story is a story of going from one state to a blessed state of existence. Now, we already kind of covered the things that Elizabeth experienced, the things that Mary was experienced. We already know that Joseph said, hey, this can't be, right? And the angel corrected him. We understand all of this and we get it. But there's something about Elizabeth here that's significant. She looks at Mary and she uses the word blessed. Not blessed, blessed. It's different. We often read the Beatitudes and we say, blessed are. Actually, Jesus was saying, look, if you're with me, you're actually in a state of being blessed. It isn't like if or when, it's a state of, meaning this is just who you are. You are meek. You are, it's not a like the way we read it. It's a, hey, if you're with me, then you're in this state. Meaning this is just who you are. Like today, we're living in Indiana, like we live here, okay? Elizabeth and Mary both go from ordinary to extraordinary. I mean, just think about it. But yet at the same time, they remain what? Humble. What the Church of Jesus Christ right now lacks the most. This word blessed is significant. And Elizabeth, who's blessed as well, right? She's gone from an old woman who was barren, who everybody looked at in a negative way, but stayed faithful, to now a woman with a baby, with a child. The child is going to proclaim Jesus, and she sees Mary coming, and what does she do? As she's pregnant, she falls to the ground. Because here's the thing, and here's what's so significant that we miss out on, and I want you to hear this. Here's Elizabeth who has lived her days. Think about it. What? Faithful. She knew her heart, and she couldn't believe it, but received it, that God chose her to get the forerunner. I mean, that's significant in itself. But here's what's so crazy about Elizabeth and has me so messed up this week. She looked at Mary. And in her mind said, oh my goodness, I thought I was blessed. But there's something about her that God saw even more in than me. And it made her fall. And it made her give Mary the name blessed. Church, talk about humble. Talk about seeing in someone else something that you long for or hope for. And then honoring that. Then she said, and what's interesting here, and I know we don't elevate Mary and we don't elevate the disciples, but we do understand sainthood and we do understand that sometimes God uses some people and we should just celebrate with them. And when you look at the way that it's written, it's actually like a, it says it here, E-U-L-O-G-E-M-E-N-E. See, if I spell it, I don't say, you can't make fun of me. So anyway, which literally means eulogized. What does that mean? When you do a eulogy, what is a eulogy? It's saying what was, okay? This is who the person was. Elizabeth made this statement saying, this is who you are. You are and will always be blessed among all women. Still to today, whether we like it or not, she eulogized it. And I believe in the words of Elizabeth. And I believe that that's the truth. And I believe that when we receive the word of the Lord, not the words of the, but we receive the word of the Lord, we can hit a place and stay in that place. And then we can hit another place and stay in that place. And then we can hit another place and stay in that place. And Mary hit a place of being highly favored among all women. Think about this. And this is personal to you today. The story of Christmas brings us as a people an opportunity, think about it, to go from ordinary no blessing to extraordinary blessed. And that is just restoration. He desires to restore his people. So where in your heart do you need restoration? Where is that song of blessedness missing? I think all of us have that place. And then I love this last part because I like to rejoice. So, and her neighbors and relatives heard, not from her, that the Lord had, you know what Facebook does, right? It makes it easy for us to, she didn't have Facebook. So, and her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her. So they rejoiced with her. The story of Christmas is a story of rejoicing. The Lord showed Elizabeth mercy. Now here's what's interesting. I was looking at what John Wesley and others had to say about it this week. And they said there was something unique and different from Mary's experience to Elizabeth's experience. And Elizabeth's experience was personal attention to a void in her life. Mind you, Mary wasn't at that place yet with a void. She was betrothed. Remember, she wasn't actually married yet. So she wasn't even in the place to have an opportunity to have children yet. So what's interesting here is that the way that they translated it says that God turned his personal attention to a void in a woman's life. Now, come on now. You can't tell me the Christmas story isn't about God turning his attention to you in a personal way. Whew. Elizabeth was a recipient of God's personal attention. And you can be a recipient of God's personal attention. Think about when you give something your personal attention. It's like with our children, you know, oftentimes there's so much going on, and like something will clip my heart, and I'll know that like one of them really needs my attention. So I pull that one aside and begin to speak into that and hear that and begin to, because I just know in my spirit that that one at this moment needs that. It's like God just knew that and just spoke and moved. Kind of just think about the statement. If we give something our personal care or attention, you deal with it yourself rather than letting someone else deal with it. God dealt with Elizabeth herself because God brings life. Life comes from him. Life is rooted in him. The Holy of Holies, the curtain was already being broken. Church, do you get this? The curtain was already getting frayed. The curtain that separated the second to the third place, that curtain was already being frayed. Why? Because God was beginning to deal through these messengers personally with people. That's huge. What's crazy is he was beginning to show his desire from the beginning again, and that was to be with all people. He created us to be in like one-on-one walking in the garden together, and we begin to see this personal attention shifting and turning and focusing. The story of Christmas reminds us that this was the beginning of the breaking down of a veil that separated his people. And guess what? Today, the veil's gone. Whew. If it weren't for Christmas, the process of the veil being torn would not be today. But the veil is torn. Intimacy is afforded to us. And the Christmas story tells us that. And so as we reflect, Mary, would you come play for us? Can you just play O Holy Night? Is that all right? Thank you. As we think about this, here's the important thing that we remember. Because many of us will go out and say, well, you know, God didn't. So be self-aware enough, be teachable enough to say, am I in a place to receive like Mary and Elizabeth? Now, so think about it for a second. Mary really didn't have much. She obviously had a great understanding of the word, okay? Let's just be real here. When you look at her song, which we did the first year I was here, it is like she's a theologian. So obviously she was in an understanding of the word. And she was young. She was betrothed. She wasn't able to have a child yet. but still very young, future ahead of her. And God came in and saw her love, her intimacy, her connection, her. And then on the other side, probably where many of us fall, there's Elizabeth, an older woman, had shame put on from other people, but remained faithful. But honestly, at times in her quiet place, probably had some rough moments, evidenced by the words that are said. But both women obedient, both women understanding the word of the Lord. And so, if you want to rejoice, if you want to live in a state of being blessed, like Jesus goes on to use, and it's not coincidence that he went back to the words, here's the thing, because you all can say, well, Pastor, I don't believe that, then why did Jesus use the same translation when he spoke at come on now, church, that isn't coincidence, right? You know what he was doing, saying, amen, yes, that's right, she was blessed, because he could have used a different form, but that wasn't what Jesus did. Come on now. And so if you want to live in that, you can. If you want to experience that, you can. It wasn't just held for one person. But we got to be what? Okay. And living obedient with the word of the Lord. And then when that move comes in and we experience being in that state of blessedness, then we can do what? Rejoice. We got to rejoice about something pretty exciting today. And you know what, church? If we're all living in a blessed state, we should just be living in a state of what? Rejoicing. And if we're not in a state of rejoicing because we're living in a situation, we can go back to the Christmas story because it reminds us that even in the midst of the shame, the words, the heartache, if we remain in the word, the Lord's going to have the final say. And one day the people are going to come back and say, well, we heard, Elizabeth, that God blessed you. Let's rejoice with you. You know what that shows in those people? Humility. Right? They came back and said, yeah, we kind of did blame you for, you know, we figured you were sinful and so you didn't. But here we are. We heard it. We're with it. We see it. I mean, you can't not see it, right? So I don't know. I think we've got to let the story of Christmas begin to speak into us and realize when we live out obedience, we're coming into a state of blessedness that should cause us to rejoice. And it's sometimes hard. Pretty sure it was hard for Elizabeth at times. I don't think for Mary it was as hard at times because she was so young. But like I said, we get two beautiful examples. And so where is your lack of? And where does he need to come in? And that's the story of Christmas. God, today, as we go out, oh gosh, it's hard. There's people in the Bible that when I go to pray, even saying their name, I feel inadequate to even say their names. Because I wonder, what was I like at, I don't know, 12, 13, 14? Did I understand the word of the Lord? No. God, I think today I'm still learning the theological depth of Mary. So today, Lord, as we think on these words, as we think on the story of Christmas, let us reflect on our own obedience. Is it present? Is it there? And then if it isn't, Lord, let us be honest with you at least and say, okay, how can this come to be? What steps do I need to make? Who do I need to speak into me so that... And then, Lord, as we head into this idea of living in a blessed state as a product of obedience to your word, God, let us receive it. Let us celebrate it in others. And let us rejoice as a people of you. Let us be a people of rejoicing. The Christmas season brings rejoicing. And so today, Lord, let us go out and rejoice. We love you. We honor you. We commit this season to you. God, as we go through our simple prayer guide, let us pray those prayers with faith. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Hope that you can join us for Sunday school. Enjoy the remainder of your afternoon. Join us back here in this room at 6 o'clock. Love incarnate, love divine.